episode of Just Another Priest podcast by Father Kyle Schnipple. I pastor two parishes in the Archdiocese of Cincinnati. Thought this week as we move from January into February and important feast that we celebrate on February 2nd is the Feast of the Presentation of the Lord. So I wanted to take some look at the roots of that feast, what's the biblical root of that feast, and where we can find some of the deeper understanding of what we celebrate. And so with that, I'll push this button and we'll get started. God bless. The Feast of the Presentation of the Lord on February 2nd is the traditional close of the Christmas season, as it marks 40 days after the birth of Jesus and his and Mary's presentation into the temple for their purification and their ritual reintegration back into the people of Israel. So now they're able to re-enter worship in the temple or in the synagogue back home. It seems like a pretty stark feast to celebrate, but the roots go all the way back to Moses and the Mosaic Law, as told in Leviticus chapter 12. And the whole chapter, the entirety of that chapter, addresses the, quote, uncleanness of childbirth. And that chapter is here. The Lord said to Moses, "Tell the Israelites, when a woman has a child, giving birth to a boy, she shall be unclean for 7 days, with the same uncleanness as during her menstrual period. On the eighth day, the flesh of the boy's foreskin shall be circumcised, and then she shall spend 33 days more in a state of blood purity. She shall not touch anything sacred or enter the sanctuary till the days of her purification are fulfilled. If she gives birth to a girl, for 14 days she shall be as unclean as during her menstrual period, after which she shall spend 66 days in a state of blood purity. When the days of her purification for a son or a daughter are fulfilled, she shall bring to the priest at the entrance of the tent of meeting a yearling lamb for a burnt offering and a pigeon or a turtle dove for a purification offering. The priest shall offer them before the Lord to make atonement for her, and thus she will be clean again after her flow of blood. Such is the ritual for the woman who gives birth to a child, male or female. If, however, she cannot afford a lamb, she may take two turtle doves or two pigeons, the one for a burnt offering and the other for a purification offering. The priest shall make atonement for her, and thus she will be again clean." Now, sort of a caveat here before I get too much deeper into this. It's a good practice or a maxim to keep in mind that when we hit something in Catholicism as Catholics, something that we do that comes across as strange or head scratching or weird, it's always a good idea to go back and look to what it is in the Old Testament. So see what the roots are in the Old Testament. So here, the roots of the Old Testament feast of the purification now coming to the bear. And I don't really want to get into that ritual impurity of a woman after her menstrual cycle. That just seems like a dangerous area for a guy to tread. But I do want to just note that it shows the respect that the ancient Israelites had for blood. They knew there was a connection with life, and that only God could take and give life, and that blood was connected with that. If you drain something of its blood, you drain it of life. And so there's this reverence, this awe that is present there. But what we start to see, 40 days, so February 2nd, 40 days after December 25th, so the modern day liturgical cycle plays out as presented here in Leviticus 12. And we see that again in the some of the other feasts that we celebrate. One week after Christmas, January 1st, is the celebration of Mary, Mother of God. One time it was also known as the Feast of the Circumcision of Jesus. And so again, that Mosaic Law Code, 8 days later, Jesus fulfilling all, every aspect of the law, even as an infant, even as a child. What I thought was really interesting in this, in that passage from Leviticus, was that caveat of the turtle dove and offering two turtle doves. And what do Mary and Joseph offer for Jesus when they present him in the temple? An offering, a sacrifice of two turtle doves, And so again, all these little details that come to play in the gospel, we have a deeper understanding of them if we can find what that root is way back in the Old Testament as well. From Franciscan Media, we get a little bit more detail about this feast. Franciscan Media, also based here in Cincinnati, and I'll have a link to this in the show notes. But they have a comment on the feast, on the presentation, such as this. At the end of the 4th century, a woman named Etheria made a pilgrimage to Jerusalem. Her journal, discovered in 1887, gives an unprecedented glimpse of liturgical life there. Among the celebrations she describes is the Epiphany, the observance of Christ's birth, and the gala procession in honor of his presentation in the temple 40 days later. And as there's a side note, under the Mosaic law, as we read above, a woman was ritually unclean for 40 days after childbirth. When she was to present herself to the priests and offer sacrifice, her purification, contact with anyone who had brushed against mystery, birth, or death, excluded a person from Jewish worship until they were able to be made clean again. This feast emphasizes Jesus' first appearance in the temple more than Mary's purification, and the observance spread throughout the Western Church in the 5th and the 6th centuries. Because the church in the West celebrated Jesus' birth on December 25th, the presentation was moved to February 2nd, 40 days after Christmas. At the beginning of the 8th century, Pope Sergius inaugurated a candlelight procession, and at the end of the same century, the blessing and distribution of candles, which continues to this day became part of that celebration, giving the feast its popular name, Candlemas. That's the end quote from Franciscan Media. And so again, sort of now tying all these different threads together, Candlemas, the final celebration of the light entering into the world, the prologue of John's Gospel, the light shining into the darkness. The nights, you know, it's still February, it's still early February, it's still winter, the nights are long, the cold is still hanging over, but we know the days have been getting longer. Slowly and slowly, it's getting a little bit brighter, and we use candles to show how that brightness is coming into the world. And so we bless candles on this day as a way of recognizing the light coming into the temple, recognizing the light coming into our world. And the candles that are blessed on this feast day are used throughout the coming year for the altar. You can get some for home use. You can bring candles to Mass on Thursday of this week, February 2nd, every year. You can bring candles to Mass to have them blessed for your home use as well. They get used the next day, the Feast of St. Blaise, for the blessing of throats. Which we often usually do on the closest weekend as well, one of the holy helpers, St. Blaise. And one last point, February 2nd is also a secular feast day, Groundhog Day. So now does it make sense as to why February 2nd is the Groundhog Day, seeing his shadow and letting, and if he gets scared in 6 more weeks of winter? It was placed on that day because of the religious feast day. And so even the secular world reflects this religious identity, this religiosity that's there. And so with that, I'll bring this episode to a close. Hope you learned something a little bit more about this feast coming up this week. God bless. Have a wonderful Feast of the Presentation and as we move into February, and Lent starts so late this year, so we've got some time to sort of celebrate yet. If you don't already, please follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/FatherSchnipple, Father written out, and Schnipple, S-C-H-N-I-P-P-E-L, and you can find me on Facebook, Father Schnipple, as well. God bless, and I will talk to you soon. Bye-bye.